legend, and they will spend time with you. You can call up almost any act here on the Las Vegas Strip and say, I'm from out of town, I'm coming to your show. Any chance they can meet you afterwards, and odds are they'll say, yeah, come on backstage. And a stranger will be a stranger no more. And maybe a lifelong friendship could be born. Now, why is this? Because we get it. We get it. We all were those adolescent youths that used to take a flashlight to bed so we could look at magazines under the covers. You know the magazines I'm talking about? Magic Magazine, Genie Magazine, MUM, Linking Ring. When we were supposed to be in our bedroom doing homework, we were behind locked doors watching the internet. You know the websites I'm talking about? The ones with the triple cuts? We only know what it's like to stand in front of a mirror for hour after hour after hour practicing something so it won't be seen. Who else walks up to their friends and goes, hey, watch this, I've been working on this a year. What'd you think? What do you mean what I think? You didn't do anything. Yes! All right, what did you do? Ah, let me show you. And that, my friends, is one of the beauties about magic. We share, we exchange ideas, we teach each other, we help each other. And that, of course, is the whole point of a meeting like this here today, tomorrow, and the next day. Look, if you've been in magic for a long, long time, I'd like to personally thank you for being part of this wonderful fellowship. Spend time with your younger brothers and sisters. Nurture them. Teach them, mentor them, guide them, encourage them. They are the future of our art. And if you are just beginning on your journey along this path, you are so welcome here. So welcome. You guys are the future. In the coming years, you will do stuff that will amaze us. You will surprise us. You'll go to places we never even thought of going. How great is that? Now, I give you this one caution. If you're new at this, do not take without asking. But if you see something or someone you want to know more about, walk up to your fellow magician and introduce yourself. And a stranger will be a stranger no more, and a lifelong friendship may be born. Welcome to Magic Box.
Is Rory Johnson for the opening general session on the first day of Magic Live. All right, well, that first little piece that you heard was from the opening session of the Magic Live, and that they have two groups of us that are split up into, a blue group and a black group, and you're denoted by the difference in color with your lanyards. And so I was in the group that went at the general session here this morning, and it was pretty fantastic as far as the people who were there. And again, I just thought that what Rory Johnson was talking about, who is one of the co-producers, he is along with Stan Allen in producing Magic Live, and he was talking about the general theme that is going on here. And this year, the theme is friends and the opportunity to make new friends. And, you know, if you listen to the podcast from yesterday that you heard, Marvin Roy talking about friends and this being an important aspect of our art. And speaking of friends, I have one with me here right now who has been a longtime friend that you guys might remember and recognize his voice from our old days at the Magic Newswire with Dot Vickers. It's not Dot, but let me welcome Cameron Ramsey. Hey, Cam.
How's it going, Scott, and everyone out there in podcast land?
Both of you.
Yeah. All of you that are not at Magic Live, all two of you.
All two of you are not here because, yes, this is just a phenomenal convention so far, don't you think?
It's been incredible. About 1,500 people here.
Yep, that's what Stan was saying. Got about that many. And so far, I mean, we just yesterday had the welcoming ceremony and the ice cream and all that. And then this morning had an opening. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what's been kind of a highlight for you so far?
The highlight for me, I would say, was the Michael Carbonaro lecture.
Yep.
The gentleman that did the late night bits.
With Jay Leno.
Leno. Yes.
He did the
eight of them this year.
Okay. Yeah, he was on Jay Leno with the late night, and he did the magic clerk thing.
Yeah.
And so he explained.
He explained how he really liked how, I mean, it was a lot different than most trick show. I mean, hidden camera shows with magic where this time the part that was hidden for the everyone besides the spectator in the supermarket knew that he was a magician, where most shows before that, nobody would know but there's a magician in the supermarket.
Right, right. I like the idea that, number one, for those who old-timers might remember Alan Funt and the candid camera, that's kind of the premise of what this was, so you can kind of see the people's reaction as they would do magic. Second of all, I like the idea of what would happen in real life if magic actually took place. What would appear to be magic? And the fact that they would do some things that people just said, huh, yeah, that's okay, or that they just accepted it.
Some of the most powerful tricks they did didn't get any reaction.
Yeah. Like, for example, talk about that one idea that was with the envelope.
The envelope on the floor, and the original effect was empty envelope, spectator picks it up, and then when Michael opens it up, there's six beer bottles that come out of the container.
Yeah, he opens up, first of all, just a flat cardboard six-pack container, and then he takes up one bottle at a time.
And with no one, he did it five or six times. Nobody gave him a reaction. The two things they changed was, and when they picked up the envelope, it was broken glass on the inside.
And they could hear that, so they could interact with it.
And then it was just one wine bottle. So it was a bigger, less to have to concentrate.
Yeah, and also it stopped, I thought it was kind of interesting as far as the trick for me was that the people were trying to flatten down the envelope and can no longer feel or hear the broken glass that had formerly been in that envelope. But yeah, that was kind of cool that he was talking about the behind the scenes and how that they had approached the Tonight Show and kind of got that as being a sequence because that the producers weren't sure if that's going to work, and of course it just went over like gangbusters, which is another old term, but that just went over very well.
Ghostbusters?
Gangbusters.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So the idea was the development behind each of those tricks and the magic team, with John Lovick and Helder. Yeah, and so great guys, great ideas, and they kept tweaking things, and that if it didn't work, they could put a different spin on it. It was just a slight changes that made all the difference.
What's the highlight been for you so far?
You know, I kind of like the idea of the branding, that John Armato had talked about. I find that it is hard to stand out in a sea of information. Now, they've been saying that for years. My major in college, my undergraduate degree, was in advertising. And so I know and I recognize that it's difficult to try to make your message heard, even back 60s and 70s and whenever. Well, we have even more messages we're bombarded with than today. I thought it was interesting where he was saying in, 1964 maybe, that the average sound bite was 43 seconds. Now it's 7 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's about all the time we have to listen to something to process
that. And how many characters are in 7 seconds?
Is that 120?
140, which is the same amount as Twitter.
As Twitter, right. That's about all the time people have time to quickly digest. And so, yeah, I thought that was interesting. And so his whole concept was how you look does not equate to how you feel. Mm-hmm. Is that what it was?
It's more with your,
What they see does not equate to what they feel. Mm-hmm. Something to that. The point being is that there has to be a connection, and that was also what Tina Leonard had talked about, is connecting the dots and connecting with the audience and doing something that was not only from her soul as she developed that Mop Man character, but also that you want to have people to have an emotion, something that they can feel. That was an interesting poem, I think, that someone had posted that was up there. It was about Maria Angelou, the poet, that people will not remember what you did. They won't remember what they saw, but they will remember what they feel. Mm-hmm. So if we can connect to an audience like that and do something perhaps through branding, and he had some ideas on how to set you apart from everybody else, I just thought that was an interesting little, quote, TED Talk. Of course, that was MC'd by Gene Anderson.
I'm still the second best MC in the business.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you like my MC work.
But Gene Anderson did a great job, and he gave the history of the newspaper tear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very...
Spent a lot of time going back into all that detail. Very interesting. Yes.
Did you... trying to... So we went to go get some water.
Yes. We went across the street.
Bad idea.
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Get a case of beer and a case of water. Whew. I think we've about finished it already.
We tried to save like $3 on beer, and it just ruined two of our shirts sweating. It wasn't worth it.
Sweat right through them. That's true. Well, you know, when you're buying a small 12-ounce bottle of water for 3 1/4, I thought, well, it'll be worth it to go over and to buy, you know, 24 of them for $4, you know. But I think it's even though it's a block away. And then as we're walking back, I thought it was kind of interesting when in one of the rooms over there, that have you ever seen them mop a wall before? Thought, what kind of party did they have? The door was open. Yeah, they had, you could smell the ammonia, and they had a mop, and they were mopping the walls.
I think the biggest thing that I've gotten from Magic Live so far is that Gwaiton Bloom and Kevin James and Mike Caveney want to get magicians in shape.
People, by carrying around their books.
The two big books came out this week, and I mean, they're both weighing, what, 30, 40 pounds a piece?
Yeah, the Gaetan Bloom, you said, yeah, it's a big book, and then the it's a double volume collection by Mike Caveney.
Both double volume.
And what's Kevin James? Is he the one selling the Gaetan Bloom?
He's selling Gaetan Bloom. So multiple times last night, you see guys carrying around knapsacks on both sides, just trying to hopefully even themselves out.
Balance out.
Yes.
Well, the advantage, obviously, of buying that is for every $25 that you got a ticket, which went into that.
Yes.
So it felt like you and me, if we weren't buying much, you know, those guys who just bought one thing for $250.
Like 50 tickets right there.
Exactly.
And Gwaiton Bloom was signing all his books, and you just didn't get, like, a best wishes signature. You got the whole page of information.
Yeah.
The whole autograph, and that's why there was a huge line for him.
Yeah. You know, it kind of reminds me of a story about someone in on Broadway whose play was not going very well, and so he was getting bad reviews. In order to keep it on for a little bit longer, that he had an older arthritic woman making change at the cashier's booth. So what happened was it took longer time for her to make change, and people started seeing his lines. They thought, oh, this must be a good show. And so the people would get in line and go see it, and it was horrible. But I think it lasted about a week longer than it should have. But just through clever marketing. Anyhow.
Some guys use that nowadays.
I did probably do something like that. So you having fun? We're looking forward to the rest of this convention.
You know, I keep myself. I don't want to know what's coming up.
Yeah, we got a real nice three-ring binder here with all. Yeah.
But for this afternoon, I'm really looking forward to Boston Zone, Mike Bentz lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be on his article that he's had the last couple of years in Magic.
Mm-hmm. Yep, one of the regular contributors to Magic Magazine. That should be good.
And then tonight's the close-up show and the documentary live.
What's going to be on the documentary live, do you know?
I do not know. Last time they did documentary live, they did like 8 different performances of The Cutting in Half.
Oh, that's right.
Jonathan Pendragon, Kevin James, Kaelin and Ginger all do the same effect, but in their different versions of it.
Yeah.
And I believe it's going to be something like that, but it's not about an actual effect this time.
Well, as Stan mentioned on the podcast yesterday, is that every act should all have an international flair. Everybody in the evening show, I think, is going to be from somewhere outside the U.S. Mm-hmm. that are citizens of other countries.
It's the highlight for me is just the evening shows.
Yeah.
Except for the last night's evening show. I'm usually exhausted.
I'm told that the finale, the last thing, you know, like for the Afterglow type party, sometimes people will say, okay, well, I'm going to go catch a show. You know, this is my last night in Vegas. Stan said, if you do, you're making a mistake, because he said, I have got a surprise that people will remember and go away.
I know that in the information, it does very look much like Steve Jobs, like, and it says one more thing.
Yeah. I have potential insight to what this may be. Someone had tipped me a little bit earlier, and I think it's worth hanging around.
I mean, I want to congratulate Stan for buying Time Magazine. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the big announcement.
The big announcement, that's right. Because he knows there's so much money in magazines.
Yes.
You know, in the print media.
Yes.
That's right. Well, Cam, thank you very much.
Oh, as always, I'm sure I'll see you again soon for this. But Scotty out.
Okay. There we go. He said it, and Cam too. So we're getting ready for the afternoon session over here at Magic Live. It's going to be the creativity session. Who is it, Dick, that's going to be teaching this? Remember?
We have a different method to do that first.
We don't remember who this is right now, but it's only going to be getting...
You don't want to miss it.
Don't miss it. It's only going to be one session, so we're all standing outside the door. Just kind of, it's no cue. It's going to be a crush in the door. But as we're standing here, we were just talking about Gary Darwin, and apparently he's not in good health. He has had more of his leg apparently amputated because of his diabetes. And so, anyhow, I hope that he's going to hopefully be getting better. But we're now again going into the breakout sessions that are going to be very popular. So we'll talk with you about this then a little bit later. Then. Let me ask these guys, by the way, while we're here, we're making friends. That's the whole idea and the concept of this convention is having friends. So, Dick, I got Dick Olson right here. Dick, what have you been enjoying so far? What have you liked?
Oh, we went to the morning sessions, and they were absolutely outstanding on everything. In fact, of all the magic conventions I've gone to over the last 20 years, that was the best morning I've ever spent.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
It really is. It was so well done. The talent and it just flowed very well.
There was nothing that really stood out because it was all great. Huh?
It was all great, yeah. Yeah, you really got to hear. Part of it was, or the opening was the history of the newspaper tear led by Gene Anderson, who, of course, really made it very popular. And it ended with Tina Leonard explaining how she developed her act and then performed it for us. So,
yeah,
terrific.
From start to finish, that was very solid.
Yeah, sure was.
All the way through. I really enjoyed it as well. Well, let me see that. Let me ask you guys for the podcast, for the Magic Bear podcast, Raj. So, and also then Curtis, what have you guys thought of the convention so far? What have you seen? What have you liked? What have you done?
Amazing as always. I went to a session this morning, which was tremendous. The production value was great. Great MC, Gene Anderson was there, Tina Leonard. One of the most enjoyable things was the Magic Clerk segments from the Tonight Show.
Yep.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved every minute of that, especially the Gene Anderson stuff. You know, you do a trick for so long, like the newspaper tear, and then to actually get to see the man come out, explain the history of it, and perform it really is an experience worth having.
Oh, yeah. Steve Farmer, what did you think about this? You got Black Lanyard also. You're going to the same shows we have.
Yes.
Have you been enjoying your time?
Absolutely.
Here?
This has been the best conference I've been to in years.
Yeah?
Yes.
And what makes it so?
Well, the presentation we just had this morning was like TED Talks.
Yeah.
And it was just the information came across clear. Great presenters. And of course, they were already great performers, so it was just awesome.
Yeah. Well, we're all now crushing through the door, trying to make our way into the... Looks like there's going to be enough room for everybody over there. I don't think we necessarily need to be all the way down front. I think as long as we just get on the inside, we could probably get seats for all. Who is it that's giving this, by the way? Anybody?
I don't know.
Remember who it was?
I just know that this is the only chance we get to see.
That's why there's so many people here. That's why it's in the large hall, I guess, over here. So for now, this is Scotty out. All right, well, we finished up the afternoon sessions, and we're now having a dinner break before we start into the evening things. And you've heard several people talk already about how great the early morning session was. I'm here with Jeff and Laurie Pearson, and that you guys both have the Black Lanyard, so you've been kind of following the same thing that we have, or I have, and some of the others as well. But this afternoon you had a choice of three different sessions, and I went to one that you didn't, and vice versa. So you went to the one... Go ahead.
We saw Bend Under Section with Mike Bend, and it was wonderful. It was about how to do kids. First of all, how to appreciate what goes into a kids show, and make it a kids show. Make it fun for the kids. Make it fun for you, and how not to be the typical boring. Oh, I need a gig. I'll do a kids show. Magician.
Oh, okay.
And
keeping it fresh, I guess.
Right. And he gave demonstrations of what he did, some video, and then talking the highlights. And it was fun and very practical.
And so he gave you ideas? Did he teach tricks or just kind of techniques on how to handle children? Or
it wasn't actually about handling children. The goal was if you keep it interesting and make it on their level, they're going to be so enwrapped in what you're doing, you don't have to really worry. Let the parents manage the kids.
Yeah.
But you took like mismade flag and the silk through apple and showed his twists on it, and it was just delightful. It was very practical.
Well, he does have some pretty good twists. Obviously, of course, this was based on
his column, then, Laura, you were talking about the
I'm not familiar with the column.
Yeah, but bent on deception, and so it made sense being Michael Bent and having a special kind of a bend on his take of creativity, and it's interesting. Well, I went then to the creative lecture that was a workshop, I guess it was a lecture, with Mark Sedeticati and Lubor Fiedler. And Lubor Fiedler had won an award from the Academy of Magical Arts, I believe, last year. And I don't know how much longer he's going to be around here with us. He's been around for just a long time. In fact, I didn't even know he was still with us. So, you know, they were saying they were Lubor Fiedler. I thought, well, they're going to be talking about some of the stuff he'd made. And they said, no, he's actually going to be out here and talk about it himself. I thought, well, that's great. So anyhow, it was interesting of seeing and hearing about some of the things. I did not know that he had made the Gozinta boxes, for example. You know, it's one of those things that you just kind of think is part of magic history, and it's hard to identify, you know, but obviously he's the one. And there were several things. I mean, I actually had purchased something many years ago from Howie Schwartzman, which was flash bang and puff that you put your finger in some chemicals and then you snap your fingers, and, yeah, that kind of thing. Plus his association with Tenyo and different ideas that he had, they've had of his. And then the thing that both of us had attended then was the
wonderful discussion
on creativity. Yeah, with David Regal and Larry Whitmore.
Yeah, from The Daily Show.
Yeah, I'd forgotten. Funny thing is, we remember David's name, but not Larry's last name, because Larry's the one who's got an Emmy, you know, but and should be the one that is in most people's minds and consciousness, at least. But what do you think about that?
Loved it. It's just a great discussion about how you could take every piece that people have done every day and become so rote, and how to make it fresh. And like David uses an example, the puppy trick, the ambitious card, the zillion ambitious cards, but how do you take it off of you as a magician and make it just fun for the spectators, put on the spectators, let them be involved?
That kind of calls back to the discussion this morning that John Armour had on that, and he was talking about the importance of making it relevant to your audience, and that's kind of what he did, is turn that around, rather than just doing the card, you know, comes back up for no apparent reason, but, you know, it's actually being done because of the person who's doing it. They draw a picture of a dog and they whistle and the card comes up at their command, and it's not because you have magical powers.
Sure, we're not doing it as magicians for our ego, we're doing it actually to please people, to entertain, not just like, hey, I'm cool, I could do this, watch.
Yeah.
That's not what it's about. It's about, like, here, let me make your life better. Let me make it more fun just for a couple minutes.
Right.
And it caught that.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of what he was talking about, both of them are talking about in their discussion, was just about that relevancy and how to script this. Not to sit down at a computer and to write out something necessarily, that's one way of doing it, but to continue to work on something to make it relevant to your audience.
Sure.
And to develop something around your character, I think, then, too.
Right. It was nice how they brought back to finding out the process. What's you? How can people be brutally frank about things? You know, what do they see when they look at you? Do you play a physical feature, or is it personality? I like the part you could be a magician, but don't be a magician.
Yeah,
it was a good discussion.
It was good give and take back and forth. I thought too, the way the two of them interacted with one another.
They've done that before, and you could tell it was very smooth.
Like a panel.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It wasn't like one person was asking the other questions. It was almost one was finishing the other's thoughts.
And the segue. One right into another.
Yes. Yeah. It was very well.
Clearly in the same page.
Well, that was well scripted, I guess. That's perfect example of all that. So now I'm kind of looking forward to this evening. I'll be having a documentary of some sort. I'm not exactly sure what that's going to be.
I don't remember which one.
No?
Is that the Young Magician's documentary, maybe?
No, I don't know. It's something, you know, last time they had this, that Mike Cavey had hosted the thing that was for the...
Aren't they doing the vaudeville presentation as well? That fall thing?
Well, that's part of the beauty, I think, of this convention. You know,
everything's a surprise.
It's a surprise. It's like when you turn the page at Magic Magazine, you don't know what the next page is.
Surprise and making friends.
That's right. That's right. And that has been the hallmark of this convention. And I have made a lot of friends. Met a lot of great people. You know,
I've run into a lot of other doctors. A lot of the magic doctors won here.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
One right there.
Yep. Mark Horwitz. Yeah, right.
One this morning in the early session.
And Raj, you know, way back.
Yep. Way back. So, man, we're just halfway through kind of the first day. We still got more tonight and then a couple more days to go.
There's still 2 more days of sleep to miss.
That's right. We'll sleep when we die.
That's right.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it very much.
Scott.
Okay,
Jeff.
And so for now, this is Scotty out.
Well, we just finished the evening close-up show. We had the close-up show, and it was pretty phenomenal. I got Dick Olson and Trixie Bond with me as we're heading back over here. What did you guys think of the close-up show?
It was international and terrific. I'd never seen any of those guys perform in person before.
Yeah.
And loved them all, especially Steve Valentine for his fun personality, such a commercial act, and then Jan, the FISM winner.
Yeah, Jan Friesch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dick, what do you think?
Incredible, the whole experience. I'd been attending the Magic Lives for a number of years, and I put this right up with any of them.
Yep, it was all, I thought, pretty fantastic, and of course, Dennis Baer from Germany. You were just asking about the card trick that he was doing, was phenomenal.
The guy from Sweden was the Swedish Rocco.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's right. Thinking of Rocco.
I did sleep it, over and over.
But awesome.
Yep. Very good show. Well, we'll see what we got coming tomorrow. But I think it was a good wrap. Thank you very much. Well, we were just getting on the elevator, and everybody was getting off, so now just a quick wrap. I forgot to mention also about the show that we saw earlier in the evening, which was on the stage, and it was fantastic also. It was a reunion of the Long Beach Mystics, hosted by Stan Allen and Mike Caveney, and I'm sure we'll get some people tomorrow to help give a rundown and a recap kind of that show, but with Mark Kalin and Ginger and so many others that just did a fantastic show, who had, Dana Daniels and others. Golly, it was a very, very entertaining show to a packed house, and again, they got a standing ovation. We've seen several standing ovations here for the Magic Live, for many of the events, and I'm sure there'll be more to come. 2 more full days to come, so I think we're going to start to make this a wrap, kind of a short one here this time. Hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, this is Scotty out.